E1, number 27B.
Can you see the touch of truth being that which can realize the fullness of life? The fullness of life is here, the impulsion of life is here, the fullness of life is here, but the factuality of truth is not acknowledged. And so he appeals that we should affirm the fullness and abundance of life. Yes. Can you still see those two great categories? They all have to do with healing, with fullness of life, with bringing fullness of life. So that's why it is the fifth subject of the abundance of life. But then the question is, how do we realize it? And the first thing is that we see that the impulsion of life is actualizing the fullness of life. And then truth shows that the acknowledgement of truth and the affirmation of the Christ idea makes us really be partakers of the fullness and abundance of life. And then Matthew would bring in the third tone of love to this fullness of life. I have put it here like this. Love bestows a full measure of life. You have again the fullness of life, which fulfills itself in every detail. Now you have the universality of love that says that this fullness of life is universal, namely that every detail is being taken care of. And so the Bible gives a whole set of incidents just always to show that this life sense is universally here and present and acceptable. Let me just go through one or the other of the incidents here. It is first shown that now Jesus sends out his 12 apostles. 12, the full sense of demonstration. And gives a sense that every workman is worthy of his meat, so that there is that the life activity finds its full compensation, its full recompense. Love. Love is always that which compensates and compensates and recompense. You see? Yeah. So he sends out universally through the impulsion of life, sends out it in a measure of love, the full universal propagation, dissemination of his teaching. And then you have a very nice sense of the fullness of his life mission when John the Baptist was asking Jesus if he would be the one who was prophesied to come, and Jesus gave him a sevenfold answer. He just gave him a sevenfold answer saying, look here, I'm really the fulfillment of the word. Because he said, mind, the blind receive their sight. The all-knowing, all-seeing mind. Then spirit, the lame walk, the strength of spirit. Then soul, the lepers are cleansed, the sinlessness of soul. Then principle, the deaf hear. The deaf hear, they begin to understand the interpretation and teaching and explanation of principle. They have now ears to hear and to understand. Then life, the dead are raised up, the resurrection of life. Then truth, the poor have the gospel preached to them. They get the whole consciousness, Christ consciousness, the Christ message. And love, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Love accepts, the acceptance of love, who welcomes the Christ idea. So in a short answer, Jesus summarized really the full life mission which he has shown forth. Or you get that sense that in the universal fullness of life, there is no more any opposition, any burden. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There is nothing, anything anymore going against him. Or, I can't take everything, but he gives the sense of the universality like this when he speaks about his universal family. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Can you see how the impulsion of life and the factuality of truth bring forth the universality of life, the universality of brotherhood or universal family? And then he gives seven parables. And those seven parables, though they are very distinctly showing forth mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love, they all have one common denominator, namely to show that tone of love, namely the extreme value of the spiritual. You have the, just to bring out this sense of this love sense of bestowing really the fullest measure, the optimum of life. That's what love does. Love really always gives the maximum, the optimum, and optimizes everything and optimizes the reward. And here we get in those seven parables always that there is an optimum. He brings first in mind the parable of the sower, you know that, how he goes out and sows, and so on. And finally he finishes up that if it falls on good ground, on an accepting consciousness, love accepts, if there is that sense of accepting the message, that it brought forth fruit hundredfold. And you see that sense of abundance. It brought forth hundredfold. Then you have the parable of in spirit, namely of the tares and the wheat, to separate the tares from the wheat, as spirit does. And finally at that parable he says, then when the day of harvest comes, that the wheat will be gathered into the barns and that the rest will be burned in the fire, and finishes up so that nothing goes lost. Nothing goes lost. Again, a sense of optimization of the harvest. Or you have that wonderful short parable with the tone of soul, the parable of the mustard seed, which is really the smallest among all the seeds, but becomes the greatest of all the trees. Can you see that he was showing here that love has that wonderful ability to take the smallest inkling of spirituality, the smallest longing for the divine, and just can unfold it until it becomes the greatest. David was from the smallest tribe, and among the smallest tribe, from the smallest family, and in the smallest family, the youngest son. So he was the smallest in Israel, and he became the greatest in Israel, the king of Israel. And so he shows that mustard seed, that the smallest can become the greatest. It's only all a question of, do we put it right back into the law of the fullness of life, in which love always has a universal and optimal reward. He gives the parable which has a tone of principle, namely of the leaven that leavens everything, of that principle which is leavening everything. Not only just one thing, but leavens everything. Just as we begin to see that the science of being will have to leaven all the sciences, every science, the science of medicine, the science of psychiatry, the science of biology, the science of theology, the science of this and the science of that. Finally, that leaven of the principle of being will leaven all the principles in every science. So it leavens everything. Again, a tone of love, of fulfillment. Or we have the parable that gives a sense of life, namely of the treasure that is hid in a field. It's hidden away in secrecy, and so it is said that we should go and sell all that he has. He sold all that he has in order to get that field. Can you see that terrific sense of love, of being engaged totally with the divine idea, so that we can really sell all other interests, all other motives, all other engagements, and just go and buy the one and only field where we know there the treasure is hidden. The parable of truth is that parable of the pearl of great price. And it is said that he sold all that he had and bought the one pearl. He just could see in truth that we go and sell all the various truths just in order to get that integral one truth, that truth which is the truth of being. That is the pearl without price. Just concentrating on the one and only. And finally, the parable of love. It was that parable of the fisher that went out and had a net, and that net gathered of every kind. Of every kind. That we gather with our net that we throw out, that we gather humanly, all mentalities, young and old, cultured and not cultured, schooled and not schooled, sinners and saints, we gather everything into our net because there is only one universe, and in that one universe everyone will find its place. When we see the science of being as a structure, we have a net with which we catch every fish, with which we catch every point of intersection, where we catch every place value within the whole system of being, within the whole structure of being. We just can catch, as we have been doing this week, just can catch into the model of being, within to the chart, every problem that needs to be dealt with, and finds therein its proper place. And finally, when he had given all this parable, they asked, whence then has this man all these things? Again, the sense of that superabundance of being, all these things. Can you hear how through these seven parables, though they are very different in their presentation, and that they are variations through the seven synonymous terms, but that fundamentally behind them is always one thing, namely that tone of love which says that it is universal, that it bestows a universal sense, a great, optimal, maximum sense of life. It brings forth hundredfold, nothing goes lost, the smallest becomes the greatest, it leavens everything, he sells all, he sold all to get one pearl and gathereth every kind. Can you hear the tone of universality, of abundance? And right after that he could feed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and there were 12 baskets full left over. Again, a sense of the fullness and abundance of life shown from the point of view of love. And so when Jesus walked on the sea and could see that error is nothing, they said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Yes. So that's the whole tone of life. Just try to catch the three main tones and see what it implies. It implies, again, that from Absolute Christian Science we have life, truth and love. To do what? To demonstrate the fullness of life, small l. We want to have a full sense of life, and we ask ourselves, how can we demonstrate that? And so the answer is, you can't demonstrate it, but let life, truth and love demonstrate it. So from the absolute sense, life says, yes, I demonstrate the fullness of life individually. And we had those individual cases of healing in which Jesus really projected upon the individual, the life power. Then we had truth, showing that the affirmation of the Christ in man brings forth regeneration, resurrection in everyone. So we had all those incidents where Jesus was appealing to the Christ consciousness in man to arouse himself, to rise up. And then, from the point of view of love, we had that full measure of life in every detail, so that we could see that the fullness of life is a fullness where every detail is being touched upon. Jesus showed his mission as a full mission through the answer to John the Baptist. He could see that he had a full mission because he had a universal family. Everyone that would do the will of the Father would be his brother and sister, mother and son. And he showed that he had a full devotion because through the seven parables he explained his devotion, his complete devotion, and showed that through this complete devotion we will gain hundredfold. An enormous compensation and recompense. Yeah. So this is a story. It's a story of Jesus, and naturally we can translate it right back into our present situation and don't have to think back of Jesus and what happened with Jesus, about the parables and the healings and the centurion and Matthew and so on and so on and so on. but we can take it right into our consciousness, into our present state of life, where we also say we would like to see our life to be a full life, a resurrected life, an exalted life. But we can't do it humanly. What we can do is that consciousness determines our experience. And if consciousness goes right back to life, truth and love in absolute Christian science, then we just entertain constantly that consciousness in a peaceful, restful, devoted, earnest, awe-inspiring way, where we just can see in being there is always one great law at work. No matter if I think of it, if I don't think of it, if I sleep or if I'm awake, if I'm in the business or at home, there is a law going on that says, I am the impulsion of life. I impel the fullness of life in every situation. And truth says, I am the truth, I am the Christ, and therefore in every situation I resurrect the abundance of life. And love says to every situation, I am universal, and therefore I act in a universal way as the optimum of life. And then I feel that this law is working in every detail. That's the story of life here. And you see, it is a completely different story than what we had before. But when we come to the sixth subject of truth, then really Matthew comes to the focal point of his gospel. And this sixth subject takes up much more chapters, because this is really what he wanted to bring out, namely the man, Jesus, the full stature of manhood. And so very often we just can see merely by the quantity of text where really the accent of a story lies. Here we come to the biggest section that takes us over 10 or 11 chapters, and they all bring out the true sense of man, not as man, but going past man, namely as a divine infinite calculus. Instead of the term man, we really should become aware that we should think of it as a divine infinite calculus. I put down here truth, and I just read it. Life, truth and love establish true manhood as a divine calculus of ideas. So that's the summary, so to say, of the 11 chapters that are under consideration. It's no more to establish true manhood as a mortal, but really to establish it as seeing that man is nothing else but the divine, infinite calculus of ideas. And finally, therefore, we must see that thought accepts the divine, infinite calculus. And in order to show that, again, we have three facets of it. And so we begin with life. The impulsion of life establishes the calculus of ideas in place of human calculations and opinions. Can you see what is now under consideration? That instead of having man with all his human calculations and opinions, we now see that the true man is something else, namely a calculus of ideas, and life is that impulsion which impels man to establish himself as a calculus. To see himself, so to say, as a calculus of ideas. So instead of saying, I am a man, he really should be able to say, I am a calculus of ideas. So life first impels the establishment of this calculus of ideas. The way Matthew shows it is seen here in the following few incidents that he describes. We have first here the commandments of God versus the tradition of the elders. He talks about the commandments of God versus what the commandments of the scribes and what the Pharisees were saying, the tradition of the elders, the blind leading the blind. Can you hear the epitome of that false calculation, the blind leading the blind, ignorance leading ignorance, ignorance calculating all sorts of things if it is not inspired by the one mind? All these men thought out computations and calculation reckoning will lead only into darkness, the blind leading the blind.